This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like expecting the leadership of a team captain on the football field, but getting a sea captain. You wouldn't settle for just anything for your team. Shouldn't it be the same for your insurance? So don't settle for just any insurance when you can go with a leader. State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac Extra Value Meal for $8. That means two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries, and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's do this. This
is the Rich Eisen Show.
Look, I got a lot of confidence in our rookie quarterback. I'm glad we got him.
Dart design run. Up the middle he goes. To the tank, to the bump. Touchdown, Giants. Jackson Dart.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guest, ESPN SportsCenter host, Scott Van Pelt. Plus, your phone calls, latest injury news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Disney Plus, live on ESPN app everywhere, live on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, live on Sirius XM Channel 80 every single day. Our podcast can be a way that you take in this show all 3 hours through the ESPN Pod Center, however you get your podcast. Overreaction Monday, Chris Brockman and I have already recorded the Week 4 episode in advance of the two Monday nights that we see on the family of networks of ESPN this evening with the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bengals and the Broncos still yet to be played. But Overreaction Monday is sitting in your RSS feed, or again, you can take in Overreaction Monday through our YouTube channel as well. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, closing in on 1 million followers or subscribers there. Scott Van Pelt is going to join us in hour number three of this program to talk about what's going down in the National Football League through almost all 4 weeks. Obviously, he's going to have something to say about the Europeans taking care of the Americans in the Ryder Cup that was a little bit closer than, let's just put it this way, the U.S. turned out to be the object closer in the rearview mirror than it really appeared in the European scheme of things. So Scott's going to join us in hour number three of the program. Good to see you over there, Christopher. How are you?
Rich, great to see you, man. I'm well. How are you?
Chris Brockman sitting next to Mike Del Tufo, as always. Good to see you, Rich. Mike Del Tufo. TJ Jefferson, I guess you're doing well over there. Candles lit. So the vigil candle for your Mets. Over there? Oh, I'm sorry. How about them Cowboys?
Let's just get this out the way.
Yeah.
Mike, what we got today, Mike?
That doesn't matter.
There is no.
Is there one for a tie?
Yeah, it's like this. How about them Cowboys?
Okay, there you go.
You just get like a basic.
Maybe I'll do it. How about them Cowboys?
Well done. Oh,
yeah.
That's right. How about them Cowboys?
See, I can do it when it's something I really believe in.
Look at you, man. See you over there, TJ Jefferson.
What up, man?
Let's talk about the Cowboys and the Packers on Sunday Night Football. 40-40 tie, by the way.
Yeah,
they played to, I guess, it was a scoregami. We've never seen that final score in the history of the National Football League. We've never seen a 40-40 tie before. I guess 40-40 is
Jay-Z's club.
Well, I guess it's Jay-Z's club, right? 40 homers, 40 stolen bases.
Shout out to Jose Canseco.
That's the score. The deuce score in tennis.
Right.
It did involve a love last night, too, right?
Come on now.
Listen. I don't know where the banner raise is for a 40-40 tie, but the Cowboys certainly played very well last night. No CeeDee Lamb, no Micah Parsons, because he's playing for the other team, in case you didn't know. And they took care of Micah Parsons last night. Just one sack. It was a pretty big one. And one solo tackle, two assisted tackles, and that was it. A lot of holding penalties that weren't called, but Cowboys fans know that that's what Micah gets quite a bit. And this game looked over 13-0
Line up for an extra point. Yada, yada, yada. It's 13-2. Brewers on top of the Rangers. And the Cowboys were awakened by that special teams play. As many teams throughout the NFL through 4 weeks have either been A, awakened by one, B, put to sleep by one, or C, just shocking the entire football viewing nation with a blocked kick of some sort, blocked punt. Special teams have yet to end, or at least block units on special teams have yet to enter the 2025 season in certain places. And let's take them one at a time here. Man, did the Cowboys need this one. They needed it because they're 1-2. They're coming off of that loss in which they lose CeeDee Lamb to a high ankle sprain on a running play where you, TJ Jefferson, were wondering what the hell are they doing in a running play here in Chicago with him, I guess, being a jack of all trades. Can we just put him in the slot or put him outside the numbers and let him go to work?
What are we doing?
And so when it's 13-0, I think this thing's a wrap. And it most certainly was not, as you know, Dak was getting it done on offense, and Dak had 319 passing yards and three passing touchdowns and a passer rating almost of 125. And the last quarterback in Dallas history with 300 or more passing yards, three or better passing touchdowns, zero interceptions, and a rushing touchdown, which he had in this game. There's now a list of such a person. Dak Prescott, first of its kind, last night. That's what Dak came up with in the so-called revenge game. That is what a leader does, with no CeeDee Lamb on top of it. And here's George Pickens having his breakout game as a Dallas Cowboy. 11 targets, 8 catches, 134 yards, and 2 scores. A lot of Steelers fans are sitting there saying that would be very helpful right around now, but hey, you're 3-1 with a win in Dublin, which we'll get to in this three-hour program. Jake Ferguson had his first touchdown catch since the 2023 wild card loss to the Packers. He had 3 receiving touchdowns in that game. A lot of Cowboys fans don't remember that because of the final score was such a washout. I mean, Javonte Williams has got the running game going, and Brian Schottenheimer is a good coach, man. I mean, I think that's what this game has proven as well. I understand that there's 2 losses that stick out, and the one against Chicago is one that particularly hurts, as the, you know, Cowboys came awfully close in Philadelphia and came up with that comeback win on the Giants and Russell Wilson in that 450-yard game from him. Cowboys are all over the map, which, by the way, a 500 team looks like all over the map if they were only 500 through the first 4 games of this season. They and the Packers are now winless in their last 2. They're like a hockey squad. And so awfully close. Could have used, because they, for them to say, we traded Micah, for Jerry Jones to be able to say, we traded Micah, and guess what? We bottled him up, and Dak's the guy, and we won anyway, would have been so sweet for, obviously, the owner's suite and for the Cowboys as a whole. But wasn't meant to be, just a tie. And as for the Packers, they now, as we start, as always, here on this program about what we just saw and what it means down the road and what I think happened before we get to the nitty and the gritty of the Micah-Jerry Jones relationship. What the Packers just did last night is potentially forfeit a down-the-road possible sweep tiebreak over the Lions. Now, if they sweep the Lions by beating them on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit, which we know they can do because they, you know, have done it. And so you'd think if they sweep the Lions, they're playing well enough to have a better record than the Lions. But this tie really sticks out, not just in the standings, but right now, had Green Bay won this game and said, we did become a better team with Micah Parsons, we did make the right move, and down the road, that may be proven correct in the same way that the Cowboys can be proven correct that they don't miss Micah and they can use the salary cap space and the draft choices they're getting from it to improve. And these are all just, as you know, week-to-week snapshots. But Green Bay, had they won this game, would be in first place in the NFC North due to their week one win over the Lions, who have won every single game since losing in Green Bay. Badly, I might add. They're now a half game behind Detroit. That said, Jordan Love, in the same way that Dak performed admirably and well and valiantly in a rivalry game, 337 pass yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. He's now 10-0-1 in a starter where he's had a passer rating of 115 or better, as he had last night, 118.1. His 337 pass yards and 3 passing touchdowns were a season high. Romeo Doubs had all 3 touchdown catches. Matthew Golden is getting better. Jordan Love has a running attack behind him. And Tucker Kraft is becoming a viable tight end threat in this league. And the offensive line, despite the injuries, does appear to be able to keep Love upright and the running game cooking. So the Packers, definitely in the last two games in Cleveland and in Dallas, didn't look like the team we saw in Green Bay to start the season against the Lions and the Commanders. 2-1-1 is good enough. It's not great. Certainly not when you start at 2-0. But they do have all of these young folks on offense who are, without a doubt, available on your waiver wire in fantasy, most of them, yeah, that Love knows very well and knows the system very well. And he just keeps on finding all of these players who you're sitting at home going, who is that? Yep. Who's that one burning for a first down? Who's that one making that catch? Who's that one trucking somebody? You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
And so the Packers have a good team, a playoff team. The question is, do the Cowboys play consistently enough to be a playoff team? They do have the imagination on offense, honestly. And they do seem to be buying whatever Brian Schottenheimer is selling. And a lot of people thought, you know, Jerry was just cheaping out and hiring him to maintain the offensive continuity from the staff that Mike McCarthy put together. So the Cowboys are in the mix. The question is, can they play consistently enough to stay in it? And the Packers are in the mix. Can they play well enough to actually be in the mix for the NFC as a whole? That's my take coming off of the 40-40 tie. As for the Micah, Jerry Jones stuff, I'm telling you this is going to be put to bed for a while. It just is. Unless somebody does some sort of an expose on how really bat guano crazy it was. Because Micah didn't have, the one thing that Micah did that stands out was that sack of
Dak. Yeah.
In overtime, when it looked like Dak was about to run it in and put Dallas on top by a touchdown in overtime, forcing Green Bay to have to go for a touchdown to just continue the game or maybe win it by going for two, which would have been crazy. That was a significant play
very much
by
so,
yeah. Micah. Certainly when everyone's gassed and he found another gear again to go chase him down from the other side of the field. Just again, amazing. Just proving again how, you know, Dallas could have won this game if they had Micah. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, would Love have been, you know, thrown for all that stuff? Who knows? Bottom line is, this thing is 100% put to bed unless the Cowboys go on a run for the ages or the Packers go on a run for the ages. That's as far as I'm concerned here. Unless there's some sort of, as I said, book about it. Certainly not going to see a documentary on it that the Cowboys are helping produce.
What unless, if I told you?
Unless they win without Micah. Let's play Jerry Jones' soundbite first, because you know he was available after the game.
He was available before the game.
Well, I mean, it was kind of a setup. I don't know why
during the game, Chris.
I don't know why anybody asked him why they paid Dak instead of why he paid Dak instead of Micah, because it's a quarterback-driven league. I can give you the answer before you even hear the soundbite. It's a quarterback-driven league. And didn't you see what Dak did last night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dak, when you have a quarterback who can do what Dak does, you pay him.
Handsomely.
Yes. He didn't even want to, I think he even won a playoff game by that point when he had a contract, as opposed to some other people who are making 50-some-odd million a year. Anyway, this was the answer to that question.
It's very simple.
Right.
Dak was indispensable in my mind.
Right.
And so, yes. And Michael wasn't.
How bad did you feel?
So, I mean, it's just numbers. It's that easy. Right. And that's not personal at all. It's just that without Dak and without that experience he's got and without the leadership and all of those kinds of things, last year I decided that we need to make him the highest paid, I think, offensive coordinator. I believe that held it for a little while there. But the numbers weren't there with Micah.
Numbers weren't there with Micah. I mean, okay. And now Micah Parsons talking about this revenge game and whether Jerry reached out to him or not and all that sort of business throughout the entire process.
All in all, the emotions for me being in Dallas went away the moment they traded me. I think, you know, I even told D.Y., I said, understanding, you know, the people that you're around. Like when Goody told me that he was trading for me, he said, let me call Kenny before it breaks. The importance of the organization and that, like I didn't even get to talk to my owner, the person that drafted me. I found out through my agent, like, I just feel like, so to me, that emotion side was pointless because the same way he called me in his office as a man, he couldn't tell me as a man. So to me, that emotion side was gone. It was more of about a respect factor at this point.
Listen, I would play you the soundbite about Jerry Jones being asked about not communicating with Micah. His answer was like, it would have been disrespectful, or it's inappropriate to talk to a player the week of the game. Nobody was talking to Jerry, meaning about the week of the game. You're talking about throughout this entire process when Micah said you didn't reach out during the summer and all that stuff. And of course, as Micah's saying, just at least call me up and say, you be the one to tell me it's over. Now you know why I'm saying this thing's played. It's played out. Like, do you really want to hear any more about this? Does anybody out there want to hear anything more about this sort of thing? No. The Cowboys are 1-2-1. The Packers are 2-1-1. That's all that matters right now. Am I wrong? TJ, do you want to hear more about it as a Cowboy fan?
I don't want to hear about half the things about Dallas that we hear about, and yet we do. It's not about what I want. It's about what makes people turn the channel and watch.
Well, I don't. I'm done with it.
Right?
I'm done with it unless there's something completely new that we don't know about that actually indicates whether one team can no longer be run properly or the other team overpaid for somebody because X, Y, and Z is going on, but behind the scenes, I'm uninterested. Over. This thing's done with, unless they play each other in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Now we're talking.
Right.
Well, Rich, now that it's over and we're turning the page, yes, does that mean that we can finally delete this drop?
Macca.
Done,
no,
right?
No.
Does he, you're going to get rid of it, right, bro?
No. Does he know?
It's going to be embellished, Rich, like Steve Harvey would say.
Right.
That's not going anywhere.
No. You know, you are the worst.
Hold on a second.
You really are.
Wait.
The Packers. Hold on a second. The Packers still have a guy named Micah, right?
Macca.
Yeah. So, and Parsons isn't going anywhere.
This one could go away.
Bye. Bye.
No. The Jerry Jones one could go.
Who knows?
That could go away.
I mean, look,
it's already done with.
If Seth Wickersham wants to do a deep dive and take us inside the meeting that blew up the deal.
I've already seen that.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that.
I mean, Green Bay's on a bye right now. They're 2-1-1. You know, what happens when they come off the bye home against Cincinnati? You know? You know what I mean? Like, let's see what happens. Down the road, what happens with Green Bay? What, you know, is Micah going to be able to run down Kyler Murray enough? What happens when the next big game is a revenge game for somebody against the Packers in Aaron Rodgers? That's a big one. You're going to put Aaron Rodgers on his behind because he's currently leading the NFC North by two games. I mean, the AFC North by two games. He's the king of the AFC North now, the once upon a time king of the NFC North.
Here, coach.
What's going to happen with Bryce Young? You're going to take care of the Panthers when you're supposed to beat the Panthers? Like, what happens when you've got Jalen Hurts coming into your house on a Monday night? That's what matters now. And then for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, you might bring it up if they have trouble with a pass rush, but last night they were rushing four against Love and getting some pressure. Jadeveon Clowney came up with a big fumble. Well, he's part of a forced fumble and a fumble recovery on Jordan Love.
So, the problem is...
So I just want to put this thing to bed right now, man.
We can say the Micah thing, but our problem still is when you've got Romeo Doubs scoring three touchdowns. Like, you would have thought I was a Capulet the way I hated Romeo last night.
Wow. Like, dropping Shakespeare references.
Ooh. Like, come on.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. At last, poor Micah. I knew him well.
I thought I did.
To win or not to win.
Look at this. Well, I mean, actually,
to tie.
To tie or not to tie.
To tie.
Which, by the way, leads me to the next thing before we go to our first break here.
That's not from Romeo and Juliet, Mike, but that's okay.
I know.
Neither was my reference as well. Yeah, my reference is from Macbeth.
Yeah, I just wanted to dump on Mike.
Good enough.
Yeah, because he deserves it.
The tie game. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. Certainly not Dak. Dak, I think, in fact, said as much after the game. Who wants a tie? Certainly not Dak Prescott.
You don't play the game for ties.
No, you don't.
I've told y'all before, I don't care about the stats. I don't care about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. I just care about the end result and the win. And so when you don't get that, right now it's tough for me. You know, I guess 10 years in, the first tie I've been a part of, it's hard to kind of wrap my head around it because I know I'd feel a hell of a lot worse if it was a loss. But I'm not satisfied. Not that I would be if we won, but it's a weird feeling.
You know who doesn't want to tie either? I don't believe Dick Vitale wants a tie either.
No, definitely not.
Dickie V chimed in on this. You showed me this during the Overreaction Monday podcast,
you know,
right?
I was scrolling last night, and Dickie V, if we want to put it up, Dickie V chimed in.
Oh! Really so disappointed. After watching for about 4 hours, it ends in a 40-40 tie. The NFL Rules Committee must come up with a rule that ultimately determines a winner. That's all caps.
All caps. All caps winner.
Both teams played with great passion and intensity, and the QBs were fantastic. You know what? Ties are not. They're not awesome with a capital A.
No.
Awesome, baby.
They're not.
Mitch Eisen is awesome, baby, with a capital A.
I'm not a tie. I'm awesome. You know what's not awesome? Ties in the NFL.
You ain't wearing one today.
We got to fix this.
Yeah.
I think it's time to get rid of the tie. I said this on Overreaction, and I think it's time. This is ridiculous.
Jerry Jones was talking about the game being great for the NFL in America.
How?
Hit it.
That game was probably a great game for the NFL as far as a showcase for the game and competition because you had outstanding quarterback play. You had some very talented people out there playing. You certainly had one of the most expensive players in the history of the NFL out there playing. And so I guess everybody was going to take a look tonight and decide, is he worth all that?
Jerry, what do you make of the third
take
down
a look.
Struggles?
Oh, boy.
I mean,
yeah, he won't. It's not over for him.
No, it ain't no pace.
Come on,
turn, man.
Wow.
Hey, listen, he's paying Dak $60 million a year. Did you know that?
Well, I know because he mentions it almost every time the mic's in front
Let
of
me just
thing.
Say this about ties. They suck. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants them. The defenses were gassed, though. You saw it at the end of overtime. But yeah. Micah found a reserve to sack Dak. And the Cowboys almost got out of there with a win. Because Jordan Love and the Packers damn near took every last second off the clock to throw one more interception before they brought McManus out there for the game-tying field goal. Here's my response. You can't have double overtime in the regular season. You just simply can't. The Packers have a bye this week. The Cowboys have got to go visit the Jets. And to their benefit, the Jets are coming off of an actual shorter week.
Yeah.
Because the Jets are playing in Miami on Monday night. The Cowboys just finished up, you know, got to bed probably 2 a.m. their time in Dallas. You can't have double overtime games in the regular season. You simply can't. I understand that regular season games mean a lot in the NFL. I get it. But
Yeah, the way this tie is going to mess up so many playoff.
That's what I mean. No, I know that. And it's difficult for fans to follow, and it makes no sense. And we, as fans, we were told there would be no math.
Yeah,
you know,
and so
all I'm saying is this. Love the new overtime rule where whoever gets the ball first, if they score a touchdown, the other team gets a chance to match that. Sure, now, that was new to this year. It was new to the playoffs in previous years. They made it new to the regular season this year. My problem when they made that rule, had I been in the competition committee, as I think I should be as a voice of the fan, that I would say you've got to make the overtime period longer. So one team gets a possession. That's about it. You know, if there are trades of possessions, as there was between the Giants and the Cowboys, by the way, just 2 weeks ago, I get it. They're now 2-for-2 with overtime games in the Metroplex this year. So I understand what I'm saying isn't the case every time. I think it's going to be more likely than not we see an overtime like the one we saw last night, where it's just one team gets one possession, the other team gets another possession, and you're going to get more ties than not. Unless you extend the overtime period, give me 5 more minutes. Make it the same length of time as an actual quarter. Not 10 minutes, 15 minutes. That way, that way you're going to actually have to start to think about whether you relinquish the ball to start overtime, as every team is going to do right now under the current overtime rules, because they want to know exactly how many downs that they can possibly play with, knowing the score when they get the ball second. And nobody wants a tie. It was great for the NFL. Yes. Sunday Night Football ratings probably through the roof. Packers, Cowboys, Micah Parsons back in Dallas, going into overtime, 40-40, Scorigami. Sure.
You're signing up for that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But at the end of the day,
got to have a winner.
We are all unsatisfied, from all of us to Dick Vitale. What's up, Dickie V? Yeah. Put me on the competition committee, A. B, give me 5 more minutes. What's 5 more minutes? You're not going to
5 minutes give of game time anything is more like 30 of real time.
Give me though. 5 more yeah. minutes of game time. 5 more minutes of game time. That's all. If you're going to change the regular season overtime rules to match the postseason ones, where a touchdown in the first possession on offense doesn't wrap it up, give me 5 more minutes. Otherwise, you're going to get more ties, I think. And one last factoid here before we throw to break. Nice long first segment here on this Monday. Cooper.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
Cooper, my 14-year-old boy.
A boy.
He asked me, Dad, how many teams have won the Super Bowl with a tie in their regular season record? I said, Coop, that's a good question.
Great question.
I reached out to NFL Network Research. I found out there's only been 3.
I like this stat, yeah.
Only been 3, and the last team to do it were the 10-3-1 Pittsburgh Steelers in 1974. The Colts in 1970 were 11-2-1, and the Packers in the first ever Super Bowl win, 9-4-1. That's it. As a matter of fact, the Dallas Cowboys came up with their first ever regular season tie last night. Did you know that?
I did not know.
That leaves only one team who's never tied ever? Your New England Patriots.
No way.
Wow. Never had a tie. Ever.
We're Patriots. We win stuff.
I'm giving out tie facts, even though I can't stand them, because I'm a professional.
You know what's funny? The Steelers, that tie came in week 2 against the Broncos. Also really high scoring. 35-35.
There you go. No more ties. No more talking about Micah leaving Dallas anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, delete it, Mike.
Unless it's beneficial to me. Can't wait to talk a little bit of baseball. I wonder whose teams in this room made it and whose did not. Scott Van Pelt, hour number 3. Don't go anywhere. We're off and running here on this Monday, week 4, prior to Monday Night Football doubleheader edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't have to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Introducing the new Dell PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It's not just an AI computer. It's a computer built for AI. That means it's built to help do your busy work for you. So you can fast forward through
editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, running lots of apps without lag, creating live transitions and captions, summarizing meeting notes, extending battery life, enhancing security, finding that file you were looking for, managing your schedule, meeting your deadlines, responding to your boss's long emails,
leaving all the time in the world for more you time and for the things you actually want to do. No offense to your boss. Get a new Dell PC at Dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, "We've got your back. We've got your car ready to go back on the road." It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. ESPN Radio is back on the air, presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. So, on previously on the Rich Eisen Show, I keep telling you, I don't mind if I'm wrong. I just don't. Okay? Again, Jake Browning tonight could get washed out in Denver, and I'm like, hey, the season's not over with Jake Browning for the Bengals. And they'll be 0-2, and everyone's going to be saying, what about Kirk Cousins? Can they go get Kirk Cousins? Maybe, you know, certainly if Jackson Dart continues to do what he's doing in New York, would Russell Wilson be a better option for the Bengals? Yada, yada, yada. Long season. We're still marathoning, not sprinting. That said, if I get something right, oh, well, I talk about it, too. Even if I had to go higher register on our Thursday programs, we have a segment called Higher Register, if you're new to us around here. Because we've always noticed, and maybe you've noticed with your friends, family, whatever, whenever somebody goes higher register to tell you something, it's because they don't fully believe it. They have to go higher register to kind of believe what they're saying.
I don't know
what I'm saying? Oh, God. Here was my higher register last Thursday on the program. We're going to find out on Sunday against the Ravens. I think the Chiefs might have turned a corner. Just saying. I think the Chiefs turned a corner last week. You know, they came out, they started throwing around. I mean, Tyquan Thornton made a couple catches.
Oh,
you know, now we're hearing Xavier Worthy's going to be back.
Oh,
right around the corner, here's Rashee Rice. You know who actually scored a touchdown? Kareem Hunt scored a touchdown. You got a rushing touchdown from this team. So I think the Chiefs turned a corner on Sunday Night Football. And we're going to see it against the Ravens. I mean, I remember going higher register about that. I forgot about Tyquan Thornton being
name dropped.
Who scored a touchdown yesterday?
Yeah.
Tyquan Thornton. Oh, and of course, I mentioned Xavier Worthy coming back. Xavier Worthy led the team in rushing and receiving. He was everywhere. Rushing. He was everywhere as well. You know, was there everywhere as well? The defense. The Chiefs' defense on the Baltimore Ravens. They were absolutely everywhere. And they've now had two takeaways in each of their last two games. 0 in weeks 1 and 2, and they didn't win. Last 2 weeks, wins. Mahomes, 4 touchdown passes, 18th career game for him, broke a tie from most by a player in his first 10 career seasons in the NFL. He reached 250 career passing touchdowns in week 4, broke Dan Marino's record for youngest player to do that. He's now 11 days north of 30. First Chiefs player to ever hit that mark. Most team points for the Chiefs since week 3, 2023. Most passing touchdowns for Mahomes since week 7 of that season. Best passer rating since the final game of last year when things were cooking for them going into the playoffs. Back to 500. And the Giants did the Chiefs a favor, maybe by sparking the flame in week 3 on Sunday night and then starting Jackson Dart against the Chargers in week 4, handing the Chargers their first loss of the season. And the Raiders lose to the Bears on having a field goal blocked at the end, which, by the way, I think describes half the league at one point in the first 4 weeks.
Another one.
And, you know, the Chiefs will be rooting for the Bengals tonight. Otherwise, they'll have company at 2-2, just 1.5 games behind the Chargers. So the West, they take a big step forward, and they also beat the Ravens, beat them up. My goodness gracious, did they beat them up. We're waiting to hear just how badly hurt Lamar Jackson's hamstring is. Worthy looked spry. Rashee Rice is around the corner, and Patrick Mahomes is at the podium just saying they're getting better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you have success, it's just we've been working extremely hard and we want to have success, and we've been just making little mistakes here and there, and that causes frustration. But at the same time, we've been learning from them, and we'll learn from this game. I mean, I think early in the game you saw the one to Juju that got tipped at the line of scrimmage, and then the other field goal that we had. I mean, there's stuff that you can learn from every game, win or loss, and I think this, I've been proud of the guys and how they've responded and wanted to be even better every single week.
That's right. 2-2. Kelsey's going to get better. I wish they would have a better running game. Xavier Worthy can't lead the team in rushing. Mm-mm. Let's get Pacheco getting 75 yards, 80. This is not fantasy. I don't have him in any of those leagues that I'm in. And Kareem Hunt, let's get him cooking. Let's get a little bit more balanced here. But Rashee Rice, they're now 2 games away from getting him back. 2 more games. They're at Jacksonville on a Monday nighter next week on ESPN. And then after that, a big Sunday night home date with Detroit, which will be another measuring stick game. And Jacksonville's been taking the ball away from everybody that they've been playing. Just ask the San Francisco 49ers as they are coming back from that big win in Santa Clara, handing the Niners their first loss of the season. So, not out of the woods yet, but turning a corner, you bet. You bet. Let's get things a little bit more balanced on offense for my taste. And defensively, man, Chris Jones was at a family funeral. You saw he was crying during the national anthem. He showed up. That defense was everywhere, everywhere. And the offense did its job. As for the Ravens, they're 1-3. And I know that there's a lot of panic set in the Mid-Atlantic area. The key thing is, how is Lamar today? I know Derrick Henry was held to less than 50 yards rushing again. Third straight game in that department after 169 in Buffalo in week 1. And it's the longest streak for Henry in that regard since weeks 11 through 13 in 2018 with the Titans. And I know that Lamar's hamstring injury has got people freaked out because Cooper Rush is not. I mean, maybe he can do what he did for Dallas when Dak was out.
Hold you over for a little bit.
And people are freaking out because the 17-point loss was the second largest in the starting career of Lamar Jackson, who again got knocked out of the game. And the Chiefs defense did its job against a marauding offense. 131 points in the first 4 games for the Ravens through 2025 is the second most through 4 games by a team with a losing record. So people are kind of freaked out about it. And the reason to really freak out about it is how hurt they are. On the defensive line, they put Nnamdi Madubuike and Broderick Washington Jr. on the IR over the weekend, and then lost Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins in the game. Ronnie Stanley went out also at one point. Everyone's just looking around and going, what the hell's going on? This is what John Harbaugh had to say afterwards.
You know, I haven't really thought about that. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that this is our circumstance right now. This is what we're going to have to deal with. You know, I like I told the guys before and I told the guys after the game, you know, I mean, I respect our guys. I respect our players. I respect our coaches. I know that we're going to go to work. And there's football to be played, you know, and there's a division to be won, you know, and we've got to find a way to become good enough to win it, you know. So it's a long season. But short term, it's a challenge right now. Our focus is on the Houston Texans game. That's what we've got to get locked in for, really, and find a way to play the kind of football game that we're going to need to play to win.
Okay, so here's how it works here on out for the Baltimore Ravens. Because you're just 1-3, you're marathoning, you're not sprinting, you're 1-0 in division. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep that in mind. Your next home game is against the Houston Texans, who put it together against the 0-4 Titans. We'll find out how fugazi it is or not. Woody Marks looked terrific running the football and catching it for an offense that finally got a clean sheet game from C.J. Stroud. We'll see how they can carry it over into Baltimore. Then comes a Rams team that could steamroll them if they're still banged up on defense. Let's just say they're 2-4 going into the bye. You tell me if they come out healthy and play like the Ravens have in previous years. They can't go on a run. Home for Chicago, at Miami, at Minnesota, at Cleveland. Home for the Jets. Home for Cincinnati. Home for Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. Home for New England, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh. They can go on a run and win the division. The problem would be is what happens if they do advance off of that wild card weekend game at home. They'd have to probably go to Kansas City or Buffalo next because they just lost to them both. Can they go in there healthy and beat those teams? They can. The road has gotten tougher through the first 4 weeks. Injury-wise, tiebreaker-wise. But the season's not over for them. They're too damn talented for that to be a consideration. In my mind, just yet.
We're not worried about Derrick Henry yet?
No.
That's two clunkers in a row?
I'm not. I'm just not. I'm not. Browns defense is no joke. The Kansas City defense has turned it around, and that Detroit defense is no joke either. It's just usually they're used to pushing people around on that in the trenches, and Lamar being better than your quarterback by a significant margin. That hasn't happened yet. Just four games, just a quarter of the season. You're 1-0 in division. That's the way through. And if you think Pittsburgh is just going to start boat racing people, and the Bengals with Jake Browning is going to start winning a ton of games, then they're in trouble. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Don't you go anywhere. Jackson Dart with quite the performance in New York City. I'm sorry, Bills fans, New Jersey.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Hey, let me tell you about Sonos. Susan and I have Sonos speakers and its system in our house. It is awesome. You can listen to anything pretty much anywhere in your home. Thanks to Sonos, with studio quality sound, it makes you feel like you're right in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, bringing your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs to your home, Sonos fills every room in your house with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, boom, you are ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home like me? That's a rhetorical question. Sure you do. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. And trust me, I know. It's in my house. Jackson Dart, everybody.
Oh, yes.
Hey. I'm like, the Giants are crazy to start him against the Chargers. And Brian Daboll says, call me crazy. I'm doing it. And guess what Jackson Dart does? Jackson Dart leads the team down the field and starts the game with a touchdown drive of 89 yards in length. So and good. He caps it off by running it in himself. Oh. Running it in himself. Look at Jackson Dart running it in. And takes a 7-0 lead on the Los Angeles Chargers by becoming the first quarterback to lead their team to an 80-yard touchdown drive or longer on their first drive of their first career start since Patrick Mahomes did it. That's right, Giants fans. You've got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Well, that's not
for one game.
Yeah, that's the headline.
For one game. Last rookie quarterback to beat a team 3-0 or better in his first career start. Since Phil Simms did.
Oh, yeah. 79.
In 1979.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Giants fans. You've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback like Jackson Dart. Let's go. Giants fans need this. Because they also can't have fully nice things. Malik Nabers has to blow his knee out. Jumping off the MetLife turf. Just check out Odell Beckham Jr.'s X feed on what he thinks about that turf. That's a monster there.
Oh, yeah.
That's being carted off along with, I guess, the turf. That doesn't help moving forward. But what a win. Taking down the Chargers, who looked superb for the first 3 weeks, go across the country. They lose Joe Alt getting carted off. We'll see how serious that is. Doesn't look good. They already lost Rashawn Slater. Justin Herbert throws a couple interceptions because this is what the Giants need to do. Just score touchdowns. Don't turn it over. Let the defense do the rest. That's the formula. And that's Sexy Dex. Damn near throwing it, putting it in the end zone. That's what you need to do.
We talking playoffs or what?
I don't know. Obviously. But this is what they needed to do with Jackson Dart, is to come up with a win. Don't go 0-4. Now they go to New Orleans next. Oof. They could go 2-3. Oh, yeah. They could go 2-3 and have an opportunity to do something nobody thought they could do, which is get back to 500. And this is what the Giants wanted to have happen with Jackson Dart. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He does bring the swagger. He doesn't turn it over. He doesn't make the mistakes. He lets the defense do the rest. Check the box and do it against a 3-0 team of the Chargers that look like world beaters. Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, in a second.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.